All right, we've come out of our closed meeting at 6 o'clock, and now we're ready to discuss the budget revision for fiscal year 2026, the budget adoption and tentative tax rate for fiscal year 2027. And we'll be instructed by Carrie.
Okay, if you'll open up to the first page, we're going to address the yellow highlights first. The yellow highlights are the final budget for the 2025-26 year, the year we're just coming to a close in. And keep in mind, we did not do a mid-year update, so some of the numbers I will give you will be comparing with the original budget that was approved a year ago on June 18th. So if you look at the page 2, just to get you familiar with the form again, this first section is the general fund, and you have your local revenues, but the first column is the actual, so that's the actual revenue or expense that was expensed last year, the 24-25 year. The next column over, final budget for 26, that's the column we're going to address right now. And we don't have the actual for 26 filled in yet because we've not finished the year. And then the far right is the original budget that was presented last month for next year, the 26-27 year. And we'll address that second. That's the pink highlight. We'll address the yellow highlight first. So that's this year's final budget. So if you look on local revenues, I've adjusted property taxes to my best guess of what they're going to end. We've got a couple more payments coming in, and the payments have kind of been different this year versus how we usually get them. And our, as you can see, our property tax revenue is down a little bit from last year. We did have a repayment we had to pay of $170,000 to, who was it, Chad? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
You rattled it up last time when I said something, and now I can't remember who it was. But we had a repayment to a company that will go for a couple of years. Can't remember who it was that appealed and got the repayment. So that's partially why it's down a little bit, is from that repayment. But remember on property tax that it is equalized on several of the programs, K through 12, board and voted leeway. So what we don't collect in property tax, we will collect in, like the state will bump it up and give us, equalize the money on that end. Also on earnings and investment, that's up a little higher than what I originally had the budget. $3,112,700 is where I landed with the final budget for the earnings on investment. So you can see the total local revenues in the general fund, $13,976,287. There is about just under $300,000 of deferred revenue that was budgeted into that local revenue. So when we do our original budget, we don't budget in any deferred revenue. I usually add it in the mid-year budget, which I did, but I didn't present it to you, so now you're seeing it being added in on this final budget. If you turn to page 3, the next page, this is the general fund, the state revenues. So you can see the regular school program K through 12, $15,946,496. That's up a little bit because our property tax was down. It was equalized in the state revenue. So that's up a little bit. And then you've also got two of the big programs that are going to look out of kilter if you compare it with the actual from last year is special ed, self-contained, and this. Career and technical ed, those have large deferred revenues that were added into the revenue. So that's why they show a lot higher than what when you're comparing to last year and next year's budget, as those have deferred revenue included in them. So your total state revenue, $49,941,404 at the very bottom of the page. You turn to page 4, the next page. This is the federal revenues for the general fund. And there really wasn't a lot of change. There was a couple programs I did not have originally budgeted. In the original budget, the E-rate program, we got about $170,000 in that. That wasn't in the original budget. And then there is some deferred revenue with all the Indian programs that was added in to this final budget. So $5.5 million is the total federal revenues. So our total revenues for the general fund that are budgeted, $69,424,462. If I read a number wrong, I apologize because I can't see with my glasses or without. If you turn to the next page, this is the expenditures for the general fund. Keep in mind in the expenditures, when we did the original budget, I had budgeted an estimated cost for steps, lanes, a health insurance increase of 9%, and we budgeted 3% on the base in the original budget. When we settled and ended up doing the final salaries, we actually paid out 4.25% on the base, and we also paid a 3% bonus in October. So I've added those into the budget for this final budget. Those have been added. And then also all the deferred revenue of like $4.6 million has been, it was added into the restricted programs and the revenue. It also has to be added into expenditures. So you'll see a lot of that down in supplies, equipment, and professional development is where a lot of that deferred revenue gets budgeted. So on the instructions section, you can see the salaries. Total salaries, $24,912,643. You can see that's up from last year because of the base increase and the bonus. The benefits are up just under $9.9 million. Again, we had the increase in health insurance that was accounted for. And so the total instruction, which is the majority of the interaction between teachers and students, $44,792,655. The next function or section is the total students, support services for students. This is for counselors, nurses, speech therapists, hall supervisors. That's mainly what's recorded in this function. So you've got total support services students, $2,717,490. Again, this is just a refinement of the expenses, including the salary and benefit increases. The next bottom section on the page is support services instructional staff. And this is your media aides and then all the professional development. And it's $863,504. And one of the reasons, if you look at the salary, that it's down from the actual of last year is we had the school climate grant that went away. Last year was our last year spending that, and the majority of that was used for professional development. So with that program gone, the expenses for professional development decrease. If you turn to the next page, page 6, you have the function Support Services District Administration. $1,250,190 is the total expenses there. The next section, Support Services School Administration. $3,833,907. Again, basically just a refinement in the salary and benefits in those last two functions is all that changed from the original budget. The bottom section, Support Services Central, this includes the business and technology departments. $2,411,057. And again, this is just a refinement of salary and benefit, and some of the deferred revenue in this program is budgeted into supplies and equipment. So you can see that increase from the actual. If you turn to the next page, page 7, we have support services, operation and maintenance of facilities. This is your basic operations to keep your buildings and facilities maintained and safe. You've got $9,362,076. And you will see in that one, you've got in the fund for, or the object 400 purchase property services, 3.7 million. That is where some of the deferred revenue is budgeted, and we also had a school safety grant of deferred revenue that I did not have in the original budget because I didn't know where. We don't budget deferred revenue, so that's been added into that program. So that's just the increase in salary and benefits, and then that school safety grant of just under $1 million that was plugged in there. That's why you see the increase there. Student support services, student transport, support services, student transportation. This is an adjustment in the salary and benefits, but then also if you'd look down on the line, school buses, Chad purchased more school buses than what we originally had budgeted, so that's up to the $721,000. And so you've got your total student transportation, $3,075,553. You turn to the next page, page 8. This little section right here, the other support services, we don't have a last year or a next year. Let me explain why. This year we had the classified stipend that the legislature gave to all the classified employees, and it was a Fund 10 program. But we had to pay some of that to cooks, to school food service. They were allowed to get that, but I had to run it through the program that they gave us the fund for, which sits in general fund. So this is the salary and benefit cost of those bonus amounts that went to classified employees from the legislature. That's why it's sitting over here. Usually the cooks and salaries are in the school food service fund. But because this bonus was for them also and was given to us in the Fund 10, I had to put the expenses here. So that's why you just got that small amount of $31,320 sitting here in the budget, but you don't have anything for last year and you don't have anything for next year. Hopefully that makes sense. So you've got your total expenditures in the general fund, $68,337,752. If you look down below that, you've got $187,678 being transferred out, and that will go into capital. That's the repayment. That's the indirect cost from school food service that comes into general, and then we transfer it out to capital to help pay for the freezer that was built. We turn to the next page, page 9. This is the summary of the school, of the general fund. So you've got total revenues, $69,424,462. Total expenditures, $68,337,752. So you have $1,086,710 of extra revenue that hasn't been budgeted in. Then you take out the transfer out to capital, and it leaves you with a net change in the fund balance of $899,032. You add that to the beginning fund balance from the actual beginning fund balance from last year, 24-25, of $55.2 million, and it leaves us with an ending fund balance in the general fund of $56,099,123. You can see how that's broke out down below. That's just my budgeted, remember. It's not the actual for this year. It's what I have budgeted. So if you look at the very bottom line, the budgeted unassigned fund balance is sitting at $23,553,798. Any questions on the general fund? If you'll turn a couple pages to page 11. This is the student activity fund. This is the schools. They update, they do original budget, and then they update their, to their final budget. And this is their final budget that they just updated to. So you've got total revenues, $2,474,528, and realize they are adding in their deferred revenue also into this final budget. And total expenditures, $4,386,531, which leaves them overspent in their budget by $1.9 million, but that you then you bring in their ending fund balance, their actual ending fund balance from 24-25, and it brings it to zero. So they budgeted in that fund balance, and now they're at zero. Any questions on the student activity fund? If you'll turn a couple pages to page 14. We have the debt service fund. you look down at the bottom, well, again, property taxes is revenue is a little lower than what I had in the original budget. If you look down at the summary, you can see the total revenue is $3,147,647. Total expenditures, $3,208,700. So we're short $61,053 in revenue to cover the expenses. And that's how much we adjust and take from the beginning fund balance of last year of $2,069,000. And it leaves us with an ending fund balance $2,008,800. That's for restricted debt service. We're trying to slowly get rid of that balance. We don't want to carry a high balance in there. So, because you can only use it to pay off your general debt, and the state doesn't like you to have a huge fund balance in there because you're only supposed to budget, or you're only supposed to set your levy at what you need to collect for your. And we do, but we end up getting extra during the year, and it ends up growing. Did you have anything else to add to that, Chad?
No, just that.
Okay.
The state doesn't run it like a business.
No, yeah, the state doesn't want you to overcollect because it's only for the bond payment. So if you have more in there, you can't spend it anyway.
Yeah.
So, our $2 million balance in there is more than... We've tried for a few years. I've lowered the tax rate down and down and down, and we still...
And it's still gross.
We still over-collect because we set our tax rate where we think, but then you get delinquent taxes that come in. You get interest. I mean, we get big interest the last few years. We get fee in lieu that comes in. So those things make you over-collect. And then, last year we did transfer some money out for technology, which is an allowable use of the funds. And we'll end up doing that this year when we close out the books. So we don't have that.
I can't budget it because I don't show any extra money in the budget. I actually show we're short $61,000. But we do have like $80,000 sitting in the miscellaneous expenditures. And we won't spend all that. So whatever's left, we will transfer out in the actual and move to general fund for technology. But I can't budget that in right now because I need to budget that $80,000 in expenditures, because if we did have something come in and our expenditures exceed what I have budgeted, then we're in trouble with the state. We can't exceed, our expenditures can't exceed what we have budgeted for the year. So I have to put some extra expenses in there to make sure we're covered in the budget. But actual, when we close it out, we'll actually, whatever in excess, and that will help us stop growing it. But we've got to slowly train, get it down a little bit too. So, any other questions on debt service? If you turn to the next page, page 15, this is the capital projects fund. Total local revenue, again, the property tax is down a little bit, $2,902,592. Total state revenue, we have the small school athletic facilities grant. It's a one-time special grant that Chad has that we budgeted in $496,820. And then you have your unrestricted federal, $453,041. So it leaves our total capital revenue $3,852,453. You turn to the next page. This is the expenditures for the capital projects. You can see construction for remodeling, $6.9 million. That's for the projects that have been going this year. And then if you look at the bottom, you can see redemption of principal. We've expensed $2 million. That's the first QSAB payment. We have two parts of the QSAB, and one of those got paid off this year. The $3 million one will get paid off next year. So that leaves us with our total expenditures, $9,165,919. If you turn to the next page, you can see the transfers in of $187,678. That's the school food service indirect costs that came out of general and went back into capital to help cover the freezer. And we have $50,000 budgeted for sale of capital assets. So you've got total revenue, $3,852,453. Total expenditures, $9,165,919. So you can see we're short $5.3 million. You add in that transfer in, and it leaves us short just a little over $5 million, $75,000, which reduces our beginning fund balance, the actual ending fund balance from last year, and leaves us with an ending budgeted fund balance of $11,467,912. You can see below that, of that $11.4 million, $3 million of that is going to pay off that QSAB debt sinking fund next year. And so that only leaves $8,467,912 for restricted for construction commitments. Any questions on capital?
How much is the stadium going to cost next year?
I'm hoping that it's around... We have budgeted about $4.5 million. We'll exceed our budget, I'm sure, on that. But we've got other resources too. So,
okay. If you turn to the next page, page 18, this is the school food service fund. You can see total revenues $462,300. Total revenues from state, $430,000. And total federal revenues, $1,545,000. Expenditures, $3,101,446 is the total expenses. And again, we adjusted the salary and benefits on there. That's basically the only change that was made. Food and supply stayed about the same in the budget. So, turn to the next page, page 19. This is the summary for food service. Total revenues, $2.437 million. Total expenses, $3.101 million. Leaves us short $664,000 that we take away from, that we adjust our beginning fund balance of $1.5 million. And it leaves us with a budgeted ending fund balance of $847,775. Part of that is inventory, and I just have an estimate of that at this point of $223,291. I just use the same inventory that we ended last year. We haven't finished the year, so I don't have an inventory number yet. So it leaves us with a restricted fund, budgeted fund balance of $624,484. Any questions on the final budget revision before we move on? So now you can pull it back to the front. And we're going to look at the pink. I'm not going to do a lot with this because I gave you the preliminary budget. I presented that last month and gave you the details of that. And the only thing that has changed is Chad has semi-finalized the tax rates. We can't totally finalize them because the state has not set the state basic levy yet. They tell us, I got the email today that said June 22nd, they'll finalize that. So all the other levies are set except for the basic, and Chad's just taken his best guess at where that's going to be. So the only changes that I've made from what I presented last month in the preliminary budget to this budget is just that change in property tax. And it wasn't a whole bunch. Like, it was not a lot of change. But realize in your K-12 and your board and your voted leeway, those are equalized. So if our property tax goes up or down, our state revenue goes opposite, up or down, to replace that. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to address that summary of each of the funds and go over those totals with you, and then we'll look at the tax rate on the very end, if that's okay. I don't think you want me to go through all the details again, do you, that I did last month? Because of very little change. So if you will turn to page 9. This is the summary of the general fund. So you can see at the right, we're looking at the pink now. This is the original budget. We've adjusted the property tax revenue. So the total revenue for the general fund is $63,158,853. The total expenditures budgeted $61,440,853. You've got the transfer out, which is the indirect costs again for school food service. And it leaves us changing, adding to the fund balance, which we have budgeted to end this year at $56,099,000. Carry that over and add that to the $1.4 million, and it leaves us with a budgeted ending fund balance $57,575,806. Again, you look at the bottom, and the unassigned budgeted fund balance for next year is budgeted at just under $25 million. Any questions there? Ooh. I did not make any changes on the student activity fund. It stayed the same as what we had budgeted. So on page 11, you can see the summary of that, $1.9 million in revenues and $1.9 million in expenditures. So there was no changes on that from last month. If you jump over to page 14, you have the debt service. You can see that revenue was adjusted to $3,189,830. Total expenditures, $3,264,700. So that leaves us short the $74,870, which we're going to take from the beginning fund balance and the beginning budgeted fund balance. And it leaves us with a budgeted ending restricted fund balance of $1,933,930 for next year. You turn a couple pages over to page 17. You have the total, the summary for capital. Again, all that was changed in here was the property tax. It was just adjusted a little bit. Total revenue, $3,605,617. Total expenditures, $10,709,520. You show the capital or the transfer into capital coming from the fund, and it leaves us with an ending fund balance of $4.6 million for restricted for construction commitment. And notice there's nothing budgeted or nothing shown for the restricted for debt sinking fund of $3 million because that will be paid off next year. So, any questions on capital? You jump two pages to page 19. We have the school food service fund. I didn't touch revenues on that. Chad, you mentioned school lunch prices going up.
I did not.
Oh.
Yeah, let's talk about that. We had a discussion internally with the new lunch director, Renee Dalton, and the prior lunch director, Kathy, we'd been talking about, she had been asking for lunch price increase for several years, and we've held off and not done it. Renee was able to get me numbers for all of the surrounding districts and what they've been charging for lunch prices. So we basically just took an average of what all of the CUES districts are charging. So the CUES districts would be Millard, Paiute, Wayne, Juab, North San Pete, South San Pete. So what all those districts are charging for lunch, averaged that out and said, okay, where do we fall here? And we decided to bump them up. I don't remember the exact amounts.
I didn't bring the right sheet in.
Yeah, I forgot all about it.
I can go up from 220 to 235.
They're minimal amount. Let me pull this email up so I don't say something wrong.
Well, he's pulling that up. Even though we're raising school lunch prices, I did not adjust the budget because when I did my final budget for this year, our revenues were down than what I thought, and so I still feel like I might be budgeted a little high in those local revenues. And even with the prices going up, that'll just help us get up to what I had budgeted. So I did not adjust the budget on those, on that local revenue.
So where we landed, problem with this email is I don't have the current prices, is we're going to adjust elementary up to $2.20, and I think that goes from $2 to $2.
$2, yeah.
So it'll go from $2 to $2.20. middle school to 230, and middle school might be $2.10.
I think it was 210.
And high school to 250, and I think high school
was it 235?
Might be at 235. So we're talking 15 to 20 cent increases here on lunch. It averages out to about 6% increase, which we haven't, I don't know the last time the district raised lunch prices. We haven't done it in my time here, so we're 12, 13 years they haven't been raised. I don't know. Do you recall prior to that?
Remember.
I mean, we might be talking 25 years or so before lunch prices have been touched. And with the current cost of everything, in order to sustain that fund, we got to look at doing something. So I think we are raising it in a manner that's not going to hurt people very much. We're trying to do as little as we can and evaluate and see how that works. And then if we need to make further adjustments, we can. We're also going to adjust the adult prices by the same percent of 6%. And we sell quite a... Renee's increased the amount of adult lunches quite a bit that are being bought. So that might be a little bit of more revenue that trickles in if we raise that adult price, you know, 50 cents or so as well.
I think it went from 350 to 375.
So even just 25 cents. Yeah, that sounds right. You guys have any concerns or questions about that?
I just have a question of what happened to the summer lunch program. I mean, we've been feeding the kids the summer lunch program. Did the feds cut that off? Is that
no,
why
we're still doing it.
Did we just cut the locations down?
I think a couple years ago we cut locations down in Richfield from 3 to 2. So that's been a few years.
So that's why some of the people think that they discontinued the program.
Yeah, it's definitely not discontinued. Well, and then over in one of the sites, I can't remember where, in Joseph or Annabelle, there's been some bouncing around. Each location has to qualify based on income. So there have been some sites that have dropped off, but that's not Richfield. Richfield, they just consolidated to two serving sites instead of three. But yeah, it's still ongoing.
So it was just, okay, that makes sense.
In fact, Renee's wanting to expand it next year so that we give away, we do breakfast as well. That when they come eat lunch, we would give them a to-go bag of breakfast for the following morning. She thinks we'd qualify for that, and it would be a good idea because it would... I hate to look at it from a money standpoint. It'd be a good idea for a lot of reasons, but from a financial standpoint, we would be able to earn all that extra revenue on breakfast without very much extra expense because it doesn't take a whole lot of time to bag up the breakfast for tomorrow morning. So I think she's got some good ideas on things like that. So
as I'm going through this, you can see why we're having to raise the prices in lunch, because you can see our revenue budgeted next year $2,469,000, our expenses $3,183,000, so we're short $714,000. We're going to basically eat up what we have budgeted in our unrestricted, and it will only leave us with $133,157, which isn't even enough to cover the inventory probably. So that's, you can see why there's a need to increase those school lunches. And next year, what we'll probably have to do is, instead of transferring their indirect costs over to capital to cover the freezer, we're going to have to end up transferring it back into school lunch to help keep them out of the negative. For several years through COVID, we got all this extra funding from the federal government to cover a lot of stuff in school lunch, and that built the carryover clear up. So we've been living on that deferred revenue for several years from COVID. And the costs of food and supplies never came down, and that revenue is now gone. So now we've got to actually balance, and our revenues have got to equal our expenditures to keep us in the red. And Renee's, like Chad said, she's come in with a lot of new ideas and trying to cut costs and do what she can to get us back where we're on even playing grounds there.
So do you have an idea how much the 20 cents in lunch is going to
Yeah, we figured it would generate, it's not a ton of money, but $30,000.
Okay, if you'll turn to the last page, this is your tax, the tax rate. So at the far right, you can see this is the proposed tax rate for FY 2027 next year. The top line, the basic program, Chad's taken his best guess at .001299. We will know next week what the state actually sets that at. The rest of the levies he set, so you look at the bottom, the ending tax rate is .004833. That will adjust up or down based on what the state basic levy comes in at. You can compare that to the left of this year, the tax rate, .005079, and the year before that, .005193. So you can see our tax rate is just slowly trickling down. Do you want to add anything on to that?
Yeah, the only thing I want to add, Jack asked me before the meeting, are we doing a truth in taxation? And no, we're not. We're just setting the rate at the level that the state allows us to. Next year, I think, would be the same. We'll be able to do the same. The following year, though, is based on the new state law. They changed the law 2 years ago to where, in order to get our voted leeway dollars that we get from the state, which is a huge chunk of money, you have to keep you're no longer, we had a 5-year allowance where your rate could trickle down. And during that 5 years, you didn't have to go through truth and taxation to bump your rate back up. Well, our 5 years has actually lasted all the way since 2013. We've never had to worry about bumping our rate back up because we've had 2 or 3 years where our assessed value actually went down. So that floated the rate up naturally. So basically, we've extended that 5-year grace period into 13 years or so that we haven't had to worry about bumping that rate back up to collect that state money. When they changed the law, they gave us a 3-year window where they would keep paying us based on the old law. So this is the rate that the budget Carrie just set will be the second year of that. Next year will be the third, FY 28. But when we set rates for FY 29, we will no longer have that provision. We'll have to either consider going through truth in taxation and bumping our rate back up to what the public voted on, which is .0012. That's what the public voted on back in 2013. Or, I mean, you don't have to go through truth in taxation. You're just giving up state revenue. So, I mean, we have a choice to make in a couple years of, do we go through truth and taxation and keep collecting this revenue, or are we okay and we let it slide for a while? I'm not really at a point to make a recommendation yet because it's a couple years away, but the one problem with letting it slide is that rate will continue to go down and down and down and down to the point of, if we eventually do want to bump it back up, it's going to be a huge jump.
And we don't want to do that.
And it's honestly, it's already kind of getting to that point. The current rate is .008. So to jump it to .0012 will be a substantial increase. Anyway, just something for the back of your minds to remember that.
Well, the big reason that we wouldn't do it is just because we don't want to do it. I mean, would it be the right thing to do?
Well, right. I mean, to be honest, right now we're banking some of that money. We're not all of it is being spent. In my mind, it would really come down to how have our capital projects gone? Because that's what a lot of the money is intended for. Is like just a minute ago, I said we have some other resources on our capital projects. If we run short on capital projects, we have some money set aside to be able to help with that. if some of those projects run over and we need the money, I would say, yeah, I mean, we need to look at the voted leeway. We need to be able to increase that. If we're not truly spending all those dollars that the state's giving us, I think that's it's a legitimate question of do we need to go through it or do we not? Because we're still, the tricky part is we're still collecting, like back in 2013 when we went through the process, we raised our tax rate. It bumped it from about $1 million. We doubled it. It went from about $1 million of tax being collected to $2 million of tax being collected. And the intention was, well, we're going to spend that money on SROs. We're going to spend that money on custodial costs and increased costs for Richfield High and technology. We funded our whole technology program that we're doing now. We're still collecting that money. We still have that. We're not losing any of that. So, like, our ongoing programs are still... It's just the state portion of the money that we're talking about that we would lose. So, yeah, most people would say it's probably dumb to not go through the process and get that money. But it is an option that we can talk through. Hopefully that makes sense.
Any questions on the final budget or the original budget for next year? Okay.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Carter, for all your hard work of putting that together and making our heads spin. And thank you for highlighting all those things.
It's time for the pop quiz now.
Easier to follow. All right, at this point we have some action items to approve. We need a motion to approve the employee negotiations.
I'll make that motion, Mr. President.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? We need a motion for the final budget revision and tentative budget adoption for 2026 and the tentative tax rate for 2027.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? There's a proposal that we cancel the July board meeting. I'd entertain a motion to that effect.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Is there anything else that we needed to do then, Chad?
No, sir.
Well, in that case, I would entertain a motion that we adjourn.
I'll make that motion, Mr. President.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We stand adjourned until August.